Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Glory to God. Yeah. Glory to God. Well, do it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know this word here for reign? That's what a king does. A king reigns. Amen. Glory to God. Hey, you need to play that again. I'm sorry. I know you're comfortable and everything. Hallelujah. You better get happy. You're going to get run over, son. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many know Church of the King could use a little God's reign? Amen. How about Ironton, Ohio? Could they use some of God's reign? How about this whole tri-state area? Amen. Glory to God. How about the Dufour family? Could they use a little God's reign? Ah, my family, we could use some of God's reign. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's just sing it again. I don't want to get in God's road. Every seed buried in sorrow.
Everything that you have spoken will come to pass. Let it be done.
To God. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Well, if that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Hallelujah. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah. Well, you know, God's done showed up, showed off. So I'm just going to leave you with a couple thoughts this morning. Hallelujah. You know, I believe God gave me a word for 2020 out of Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And I'll tell you what, we'll just read it. We'll just go over there and read it. I don't have the page number wrote down, but he's right after Daniel, chapter 6. Hallelujah. We'll start in verse 1. Father, we ask you to bless the reading of your word this morning. Give us ears to hear, hearts to receive your word. As the song said, Lord God, help us to receive your rain. Help us to receive your Holy Spirit in our lives, Father, individually as well as corporately as your body here in Ironton, Ohio. And Father, we thank you and praise you. We give you glory, honor, and praise because you are worthy and you alone are worthy, Lord God. Oh, Father, I pray, Lord God, that song said, you were going to grant every word that has been spoken, Lord God. You spoke, Lord, that one day this church would explode. And Father, we are just calling that word in now. We're ready to receive your rain, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. All the prayers, Lord. All the words spoken over our unsaved loved ones, Lord God. Father, we're ready to receive the rain that will produce a harvest of salvation in their lives, Lord God. Oh, we give you glory and honor and praise. Glory to God. Hey. Glory to God. That's about all I can come up with is glory to God. Because he's worthy. He's worthy. None like him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He is worthy. Hallelujah. Anybody thought the walls would have broke down by now? Huh? Yeah. Get ready. Bishop Jakes used to say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Hallelujah. Anybody need a breakthrough besides me? Hallelujah. Verse 1 says, come and let us return to Yahweh, for he is torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord, or Yahweh. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. Glory to God. Israel is actually experiencing some record rainfall right now. It hasn't rained like that in 50 years. Hallelujah. But you know, when you live in a dry, a ground that is dry, and it rains a lot, it don't have anywhere to go. It can't sink in the ground. It just whoosh, washes away. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Maybe there'll be enough rain to bring up the Sea of Galilee a little farther, which will bring up the Dead Sea. Amen. Glory to God. May their cup runneth over. Glory. But the latter rain and the former rain was given towards, it was the end of a harvest season. It's why they celebrate Sukkot or Tabernacles. The rain came after the harvest, and the rain came in order to plow up the fields, in order to soften the ground so they could plow up the fields to plant again. Amen. We need some of that former rain to soften up the old stone hearts of some of God's people. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, quit hanging on and holding on till you get to the promised land. The promised land's in you. Amen. In the person of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. Quit hanging on. Start enjoying God. Receive that rain. And then the latter rain came around March, April, and it was like it gave the harvest, it gave the crops one more growth spurt in order to fully ripen and be ready for the harvest. Amen. And I believe what God was telling me about us when he gave me this scripture there several weeks ago was that God wants to soften our heart. He wants us to grow and know him, amen, in order that we'll produce godly fruit, amen, in order that the world can eat of that fruit and they will be the harvest, amen. We need to be laborers in God's kingdom, amen. Now, I'm just going to give you two things this morning, two things that we need in order to receive God's rain. And I'll try not to be too long, because I already said I wasn't going to be long, so I need to stay to my word. Now, don't roll your eyes, okay? Makes me feel bad. Bernie, don't laugh and encourage you. Turn with me to Deuteronomy. I was going to tell you the page, but you're on your own now. No, not really. I don't have the page. Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11. Now, I don't know. Verse 8. That'd be a good place. I'd like to read the whole thing, but I won't. He says in verse 8, page 246, you got a Bible like mine. Therefore, you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to give your fathers, to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. How many know the land didn't actually flow with milk and honey? Okay. There were goats, milk. There were fig trees, honey. Fig honey was very, very much part of Israel. He says, the land which you go to possess is not like the, in verse 10, the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot as a vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, excuse me, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Let's go back to God's words when he said it's not like the land of Egypt. See, in Egypt they had a mighty river called the Nile. It's still there today. It's still a pretty, you know, a pretty prosperous area of the world because of that water. Well, the Egyptians would dig canals and they would water the earth that way. Okay, so it was easy for them just to walk down to the river and get water. They could water the land because of their own power. But Israel was different. God wanted Israel to live in a land that was dry, that depended on God for the rain. Amen? So the first thing that one has to do if he's going to receive the rain of God or the Spirit of God operating in his life is you got to be humble enough to realize that you need him. Amen. We live in a land of prosperity today. Let's pray Americans don't forget where this prosperity really comes from. God says in his word that I give you the power to get wealth. Amen. We are the wealthiest nation in the world, but it's because of God's blessing. Amen. Because God has had a plan and a purpose for America. We finance 99% of the gospel preached around the world. We're the only true ally to the nation of Israel. A land, and listen, a land that the Bible just says that God keeps his eye on at all times. Amen. Why? Because our king, his son, is going to be enthroned there someday. Amen. Why do you think the enemy tries to take Israel? Amen. And it bothers me. I said I wasn't going to get political today, but it bothers me when some of our government officials, you know, come up with stuff like, we need to boycott Israel. Right. Well, then you're boycotting God. That really, I just thought of this, it must have been God. Really, that's just saying they want to boycott Israel is just a reflection of their heart that has already boycotted God. And that was good. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Never thought of it. You know, sometimes they just comes out. Amen. So with Israel, Israel always ran into trouble whenever she became disobedient to God, whenever she started running after other gods. And God would what? Hold back the rain. Because the land needed the rain in order to be plowed, in order to produce crops, in order to give Israel life. And God promised her, I'm taking you into a land. A land that you can't water like Egypt. A land that's totally dependent on the rains of heaven. Amen. And I think one of the keys, and I've been searching God lately. And one of the keys in my life is I got to get hungry enough and desperate enough to understand that my life, everything I have, my life and all the things in it are because of God. And that just because I might have a little bit of material wealth doesn't mean I don't need God every day. Amen. I need him every day. He's got to be number one in my life. Amen. So I've got to come to the place where I'm not dependent on donkeys and elephants, but I'm dependent on God. Amen. I don't really care what comes out of the mouth of those donkeys and elephants anymore. All I care about is the word of God that comes from the throne of God and out of the breath of God, from the Spirit of God. Amen. And besides that, the hearts of kings are in the hand of God. Amen. He's going to do what he needs to do. So the number one thing is, you got to be humble enough to realize you need God. You know, I believe with all my heart that God allows the valleys of our life just as a wake-up call to say, hey, everything was going good there for a little while, wasn't it? But now you're in a tight spot. It's to get our attention, to get our focus, for us to say, hey, I'm going back to you, God. And you know the amazing thing about God, he always is there waiting. Always is there waiting. Amen. And the second thing is, it runs right along with humility. It's walking in obedience to that word. Amen. Listen, we've been here way too long with way too many empty seats. Amen. But now, I don't want to say it's all been bad. When people ask me, you know, well, how's your church? What they're really asking is how many people's in the pews. And I always tell them, I'm not real sure, you know. But I'll tell you this, I'll say, we're small in number, but we've got people who love God, love each other. They're growing and maturing in the Lord. Amen. And I said, and we got about 80% tithers. And they're first. It's funny, they don't care about the spiritual maturity. They're just 80% tithers. Because the national average is less than 10%. I don't know what it is, you know. And, you know, it's not that we don't have, it's not that the church doesn't have money, church overall, you know. It's the church doesn't have the Spirit of God that we need. We need that rain. Amen. We need this Holy Spirit. But you know what? It's not just for us. Okay? It's not just for us. It's for the hurting. It's for those in need. But our vessel has to be full and overflowing in order to reach the world. Amen. See, I can look at empty seats and I can go to seminars and they'll tell me, you know, here's how you draw a crowd. I'll never forget the first one I went to. This guy said, yeah, so we went to Louisville, Kentucky. Population 100 and some thousand. I don't know how many, maybe more. Is there more? Yeah. So might have been 300,000. It was 300,000. Because they sent out a tithe of invitations to come to this church. So they sent out 30,000 invitations. I'm there trying to figure out 40, because stamps were 42 cents. I'm trying to figure out 42 cents times. Man, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. I don't know what that is, but, you know, I was like, I said, you, and what he said was, he said, we sent that out, and we got 300 people came to that first service. But the next week, they were down to under 200. And then the next week, they got down, they were under 100. Okay? So they drew a crowd. And I'm not about drawing a crowd for a crowd's sake. Okay? But what I am about is that each one of us are filled with the Spirit of God and the love of God to the point that we can witness about God and invite somebody to church. You've heard me say this 1,000 times, but you can't be mean and hateful out in the world and expect somebody to go to church with you. You know, hey, you'll go to church with me? I don't care for the pastor too much. You know, and the praise and worship, it's too loud. You know, and we got this one woman in there. Well, I don't want to talk about her. You don't go to church with me? I don't think so. I don't think so. But I can tell you for a fact that you have been in situations where you have drawn people who are hurting. They have come to you because they know what you stand for if you truly love God. So don't miss those opportunities to bear witness and invite people to come, not just to church, but invite them to Jesus. Amen. I believe with all my heart that God wants to pour out his Spirit here. Amen. Because this area needs the Spirit of God. This city needs the Spirit of God. Amen. So your families, my families, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the rain from heaven, but we must receive the rain. And how do we receive that rain? We walk in obedience to God, and we humble ourselves, and we realize, God, I need you more than you need me. Amen. Glory to God. I'll tell you what I'd like to do, Terry, if that's all right with you. I want to serve communion. I want everybody to remain reverent. And then after communion, I'd like us to sing that song one more time. But you take it personal this time. You ask God, God, help me to humble myself, to walk in obedience to you, and to receive your reign, your Spirit in my life. Amen. Your Spirit in my family's life. Because I'll tell you, all the worrying, all the fretting, all the fussing, all the cussing about your children going to hell, not straightening up, it ain't worked. It ain't worked. I talked to a father the other day. His son has some substance abuse issues. He was telling me everything he did with him, you know. He drawed the line. You do this again, you're out. You do this, you're out. You do this, I'll get custody of your kids. And I thought for a minute, and I said, you know, maybe I'll just put your arm around him. Tell him, hey, I'm your dad, and I love you regardless. Because that's how God loves you. Amen. Whew. Glory to God. So, if I could get this Debbie and this Jackie to help me serve communion. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless his mighty name. All the words that have been spoken come to pass. Whew. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we declare your word. This church will explode. Hallelujah. Let's keep that attitude of reverence here. Keep that attitude of reverence. Focus on God. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Glory to God. We bless you. We praise you. Oh, Father, we see a cloud size of a man's fist. I think it's beginning to rain here, God. Rain your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we pray for a harvest. Oh, a harvest of our family members. A harvest of sinners, Lord God. Souls being won into your kingdom. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We glorify your holy name. There is none like you. Glory, glory, glory. We bless you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory. As the ladies continue to serve communion, you have symbols that represent the blood and the body of Jesus. Now I'm going to remind you of something else about that Jewish betrothal ceremony. When the young man went to the young lady's home, of course, there's already rumors going around. Already rumors going around that he had an eye for this young lady. So he would show up, knock on the door. You know that I believe it's Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And that's the imagery that he's talking about. This bridegroom knocking on the door of this young lady's house. Of course, we preach that Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts, and that's certainly true. Certainly true. So one of the things they would do, they would go in, they would have a glass of wine, they would negotiate. Then they would bring in a scribe, and he would write down all the contract. Once that was finished, they'd have another glass of wine. Then they would invite the families. And the two families would come together and they would eat bread. They would eat a communion meal. That's what we're doing here. Amen. The family of Church of the King with the family of God's about to have a communion meal here this morning. Then they'd drink that third glass of wine, all of them. And then you know the fourth cup of wine was reserved for just the bridegroom. Not the bridegroom, the bride. Bridegroom wouldn't drink it. Remember, Jesus told his disciples, "I won't drink of the fruit of the vine again until I come in the fullness of my Father's kingdom." But the bride did drink, and it was a symbol of her vow of fidelity and faithfulness until her bridegroom came. So you have the bread of Jesus' body broken for us. He gave his disciples He told them to take, and when they did it, to do it in remembrance of him. And this represents his body, but it represents that we are in communion with him. How many know that when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Amen. Glory to God. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. And we're about to take of your body, your bread, this communion bread. And we do it in remembrance of you, in remembrance that you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that you are the immerser, a baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Pour out that rain. And in remembrance that you are high priest interceding for us right now, and that you are soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our hearts and remembrance of you, we eat of your body this morning. And now the cup. You holding it up? On three, we're going to say L'chaim. One, two, three. L'chaim, to life. The Bible clearly tells us that life is in the blood. And the Lord Jesus poured out his life at Calvary so we could be partakers of that life. Amen. We can have as much of God as we are willing to put into that relationship. Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, we drink of your life. Hallelujah. Well, let's sing this one more time. Glory to God. As a declaration, we are willing to walk in obedience and humility and receive your reign, your spirit. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hear the word roaring as thunder, with a new future to tell. For the dry season is over.
Amen.
There is a cloud beginning to swell. To the skies heavy with blessing, lift your eyes, offer your heart. Jesus Christ, open the heavens, now we receive the Spirit of God. We receive your reign. We receive your reign. Every seed in sorrow, you will call forth in its time. You are Lord, Lord of the harvest, calling our hope now to arise. We receive your
Glory to God. Father, let it rain. Hallelujah. We praise you, mighty God. Hallelujah. We bless you. We praise you. Oh, Father, we just thank you. Father, I ask that you bless these, your people. Bless them spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally. Bless them in every area of their life, Lord God. Father, give them the desires of their heart. And we will never fail to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Send the rain. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.